As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May God bless to us that reading from his word. Right. This is one of those difficult passages that I quite often talk about because, do you know what? We've all heard Palm Sunday before. And as a result, you all know what I'm going to say. So that's good. Our next hymn is... maybe we might have to do a little bit more exposition, mightn't we? So, I want you to tell me what you've noticed in that passage. You might have to reread it. But tell me what you've noticed in that passage. Yes, Nancy. That Jesus knew they were going to ask. Okay, so the foreknowledge of Jesus. Yep. Anything else? What's the significance of a colt that's not been ridden before? I'm pleased you asked. I might mention it. Anything else? It's a colt and not a donkey. Yep. So a colt is a foal of a donkey. Yeah. No, it's the colt, the foal of a donkey. Thank you. Anyway, it's fine. Anyway, yes? No, he comes back the next day and does that. Yeah. It's very calculated. Anything else? Yep. Yep. Throw back to what they were. Yep. Yep. Psalm 118, incidentally, while we're there, is a psalm of ascent. And we'll go on about what a psalm of ascent is in a moment. Anything else? It doesn't say palm leaves. Well done for noticing that. There isn't a mention of palm leaves, just some branches they ripped from the fields, or they cut from the trees of the, in the fields, which would apparently be clapping their hands if you quote a different psalm. Truly, you look like you're about to say something. No, okay, fair enough. Right, Rachel, did you notice anything? Yeah, it seems strange, doesn't it? Very trusting. Okay, so we have this passage of scripture that we all know, but actually there are still questions in it, aren't there? And we tend to try and mix all of the stories together. If I were to give you Matthew, you would see something different there. For example, in Matthew, because of the translation that is going on, it looks like Jesus is riding two donkeys, which is a bit weird, because how could Jesus ride two donkeys at once? That must be uncomfortable. If you look at Luke's passage, he talks an awful lot about the palms. But in this passage, it talks about the cloak. And they put their cloaks on the ground. And we don't get it. Because we're reading it in English. And we've translated the word out of it. Because whoever's translated it has decided it's not really that relevant. Unfortunately, it really is. The cloak is really important. It's what cloak they place. It's not just me taking Nancy's jacket here and chucking it on the floor so a donkey can ride over it. That would be, well, first of all, Nancy probably wouldn't be very happy with me if I got a donkey's riding over her jacket. But it's not just about that. It's not just any old cloak we're talking about. It's the talit. Now, does anyone know what the talit is? Baba? It's the cloak. It's the prayer shawl, which is made in one piece, and it's got tassels on four corners. I say four sides, but no, four corners. So it's got tassels on it, and it's their prayer shawl, which every Jew must wear. The beautiful garment that they cast lots for and rolled dice for, that Jesus is at the crucifixion, is the talit. It's made in one piece. And it's very, very important. And on the collar of the talit, the Hebrew letters spell out Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It is to act as a constant reminder to the Jew that God is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. For a Jew to take that off and place it before someone else would be absolutely astronomically important. Do you not think? Because you're actually saying, what the people here are saying is that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Because they're placing it before him. It is more important that they remove that and place it in front of Jesus. Than anything else. What a statement. Do you realize how important that statement is? That is an amazing, earth-shattering statement. What, sorry? It's very risky. What if the Pharisees, who are really good at knowing what you do at every available opportunity, they're a bit like the Spanish Inquisition, no one expects them. What if the Pharisees had seen all these people taking off their cloaks? These prayer shawls and placing them before Jesus. Well, I reckon they probably do. They have seen this. Jesus is dead a week later. This is quite a statement. Now, what's the importance then of riding a donkey that no one's ever ridden? But it goes back to being things that are only ever allowed to be used for holy purposes. If you go back to the Old Testament, the ark needs to be pulled by some heifers. And they have to be heifers that are under a year old, that have no blemish, and that no one has ever yoked. Because it can only be used for a holy purpose. So it's really important that you have this donkey. Because the donkey is being used for a holy purpose. This 11 verses of scripture are so important for our understanding of the proclamation of who Jesus is. You've heard me talk about this before, I hope. Some of you won't have done because you're visiting, but you've heard me talk about this before, this idea of Jesus being prophet, priest, and king. And that's an understanding of the atonement, for example, that on the cross he is prophet, priest, and king all at once. We have this declaration when the three wise men turn up with their gifts. They bring gold for his kingship, frankincense for his holiness, which would be the priestly role, and myrrh, because of the fact that he will die, and that would be his prophetic role, because he is speaking God's word into the situation. He is proclaiming God's word. Well, here you actually have a demonstration of prophet, priest, and king once again. What did the people say? You can read it to me if you like. What did the people say to Jesus? Hosanna. The first thing they say is Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? Save. Hosanna means save us now. Hosanna in the highest. Save us from the highest. Salvation has come. God has just turned up and he's going to make everything better. Hosanna. Now that's quite a statement. And then they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's where Psalm 118 finishes, actually. So Psalm 118 is a psalm of ascent. And what I mean by that is it's when you ascend up the mountain towards the temple. And the people of the Lord would call out to you, and you would cry back. And so it was a psalm of ascent. It was like a call and response. And so the temple would say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the temple welcomes him. Do you remember when we had that in the call to worship? The house of the Lord say this. It's all just one big call and response. But then they go on to make a statement. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Well, who's the only person who can bring in the kingdom of our father David? The Messiah. So you have demonstrated, first of all, that Jesus is king. If you are placing your cloak before him, he can only be king. You have it demonstrated that he is the priest because they recognize his divinity. They place their cloaks before him. And he is the one who is going to save them. There's a prophetic role in that, and there is a priestly role in that. Because a priest is someone who stands in the middle. It's basically what it means to be a priest. You stand in the middle. And you represent God to the people, and importantly, the people to God. When the high priest is the high priest, Judaism, the high priest would stand there, and he would be the one who would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would offer sacrifice for the entire nation. So he was representing the people to God. And then he would come out with whatever he would come out with, and he would say to the people, God has forgiven you on the Day of Atonement. And so he represents God's word to the entire people. They're crying out, Jesus, say, or they're crying out, Hosanna, salvation has come. And they probably don't understand what they're saying, but this is exactly what Jesus is about to do. He is about to save them, all of them. If it did mention the fact that they were palms, and that's an interesting thing I learned about palms this week. You can always find something new, can't you? But I learned this interesting thing about palms. Palms are, it takes 30 years for a palm to bear fruit. Did you know that? No, I didn't either. So it takes 30 years for a palm to bear fruit. Do you know how old the minimum age was for you to be high priest, or to be a priest in Judaism? 30 years. And Jesus is how old when he starts his ministry? 30. Look at that. So here we have another backing up of Jesus being a priest and a very important priest. Also, the palm would have been used as a declaration of royalty. When David would enter into Jerusalem, they would wave palm branches before him to declare that David was king. Do you see the symbolism in just 11 verses of scripture that we just kind of skip over because we know it? So here's the question I want you to ponder. If Jesus is all of these things, what is it we can lay before him? we can put before Jesus. See, I don't wear a talit, so I can't lay my talit before Jesus. And I'd probably get fined by the Forestry Commission if I went around chopping loads of branches off of trees, especially in the forest. I'd get in trouble for that, so I can't put that before Jesus. What can I put before Jesus? What does the talit represent? The talit represents under whose lordship I am. So you wear that prayer shawl to remind you that you are under the lordship of God, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that he is the one who brought you out of Egypt, and he is the one who brought you through the Red Sea and gave you the law and all of those things, and he is the one who went before you as a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke. That is God. How do I give? What do I give to show that I belong to Jesus and I'm going to make him Lord of my life? How can I make that statement of who I am and who I belong to? See, I've got nothing. I could give you my collar, which apparently I don't wear enough. Do you know what? It's really interesting, my dog collar. People drive better when they see me in their rearview mirror. It's fascinating. And I want, you know the cut through to Emery Down, the single lane bit? Well, I was going to go there because I was going to go and do a femur, and I had my collar on, and it was jammed up, and I don't quite know why it was jammed. Anyway, this guy got to the other end, and he stopped his van, which I thought was really helpful because he'd blocked the entire road by this point. He stopped his van and got out, and he went, "Father, if I were you, I'd turn round and drive." And I'm like, "Father? Do I know you?" And I went, "Oh, my collar, sorry, I forgot." And people open doors for me when they see my collar. People open doors, "Oh, that's lovely." And I also become invisible. I can stand in a hospital ward with a collar on and no one sees me. I had this amazing experience. I went to go and visit someone, I had my collar on, and I stood at the nursing station for 5 minutes, and they all just kind of nodded at me and never asked me what I wanted. So I'm like, "Okay, could you tell me where so-and-so is?" "Oh, it's all right, Father, off you go." I don't know why I'm everyone's dad, but "it's all right, Father." "It's all right, Father, off you go. Go and do whatever it is you're going to do." So I'm like, "Okay." But I thought, you were never going to challenge me. I could walk around putting pillows over people's faces. Because I'm not even being challenged, because I'm invisible, because I've got a collar on, I must be good. So I could give God my collar, fair enough. That's why the collar is a representation, is that you're under the authority of Jesus. It comes actually from a slave collar, but there you go. That actually you're under the authority of Jesus, and therefore you are representing that, but there we are. What can we give to God that represents that he has a, what, sorry? Take off our wedding ring and get married to Christ? Oh, similar to being married to Christ, yeah? So the nuns will actually put on a wedding ring to say that they are married to Christ as part of their, whatever it is, that was their ceremony where they become nunned. But what is it we can give? We can just give ourselves, can't we? We can say that you are going to be Lord of my life. And not just the bits of it that I want you to be Lord of, but all of it. You know, in the way that we interact, from the way that we speak to our children, to the way that we speak to our colleagues, to the way that we speak to the person in the garage, the way that we, when we're buying our petrol and killing the world, the way that we just engage with someone who's just walked past us in the forest. Do you know, it's really lovely in the forest. I love this. You go for a walk in the forest, people walk past you, they go, "Morning." And you go, "Morning." If you come from the town, that's really weird. First time that I experienced that, I came on a Boys Brigade camp, and we're walking along, and our Boys Brigade captain was saying, we're in Brockenhurst actually, and we're walking along, and the boys get going, "Morning, morning." We went to Bournemouth the next day. Funnily enough, because we all thought, "Oh, that's what people do, must it?" So we're walking along Bournemouth High Street going, morning. People are looking at us like we're completely insane. But maybe it's just the way that we do greet people, just the way we acknowledge people. It's about saying that God is Lord of our lives. The way we spend our money, what we watch on television, the way we spend our time, it is about saying that God is Lord of our lives. It's crowning him with as many crowns as possible, because there isn't an area that he can't be in control of. That there isn't an area that he isn't in control of and that he isn't Lord of. Even when we're making decisions about what job we're going to do, it's saying that, yet not my will but yours be done. That's quite tough at times. Because sometimes God might have different plans for us than we have for ourselves. Or he surprises us. But he might have different plans, you know, and it's difficult to say, I'm going to make you Lord of my life when I want to do this and you're asking me to do that. And we can fight against it for years. I'm a past master at this. Fighting against what I believe God wants me to do, but not actually wanting to do what God wants me to do because I want to do something else. Well, bully for you, Paul, if you're going to say Jesus is Lord, he is Lord of all, or he's Lord of nothing at all. So on Palm Sunday, rather than just it being about how many palms we can pile into a room or making palm crosses and all the rest of it, the question really is, what are we going to place before Jesus? If we were to be walking into the city in the children's band, well, they're quite wise, a children's band, I don't know. But if we were to be walking into the city with the children's band, behind Jesus or in front of Jesus, what would we be laying before him? The palm branches are all gone, they've been stripped. The people who own the fields aren't very happy. You aren't Jewish, what do you lay before Jesus' feet? And how do you proclaim that he is your king, your prophet, and your priest? I'll leave you with that challenge. We're going to sing again.